Let's pray together and we'll jump right into the Word. We're in a series, a Bible study series entitled Getting to Know God. And last week we started out by sharing with you what God knows about you. So let's pray together and we'll move right into Bible study, study of God's Word. Most gracious and eternal Father, how we love and thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your mercy and your loving kindness. You are an awesome God, a great God, and we're grateful that we are in relationship with you based upon what Christ did for us on Calvary. We're grateful that we can, in fact, come boldly to your throne. So in particular, oh God, we pray as we study through your word that you would give us what we need in order to be good soldiers of the cross. Help us to be faithful, committed. Help us to be individuals who are trusting in you on a regular basis. And we'll be careful through this Bible study to make sure all praise, glory, and honor goes to you. We pray that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Guide us as only you can by the power of your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord, and we give your name praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Listen, we are so grateful again that you've tuned in with us. And I pray that you have already downloaded the outline. It's the same one from last week that we started out with. And those of you who were with us last week know that, this is a new series, Getting to Know God, that we've been talking about and will be talking about for the next few weeks, probably up until somewhere in December. So just bear with us. We're grateful that you tuned in. I got your emails and your texts and all of that in regards to these lessons, and so I'm grateful that you're tuning in with us. Last week we talked about getting to know God. Premise for this whole series is what is God like? I think the more we know about God and his relationship to his people, and learning the characteristics of God, the stronger we can become as believers. If I know him more, better, and understand his character and understand his traits and how God moves and responds, the better I will be as a Christian, and the more I can trust in his character and who he is. And so last week, we dropped out by asking the question, what does God know about us? We started out with that Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, that says that nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare to him to whom we must give an account. That's the NIV version. English Standard Version says no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed. Everything is exposed to God's sight. He sees all, knows all. And that is the ideal on your outline of the omniscience of God. God is omniscient. He knows all. And the better we understand that he knows all, the better we can that we can grasp certain aspects of our Christian walk, our Christian life. And so that Psalms 147 verse 5 says his understanding has no limits. I love that, no limit. I know we got folk who put it on a t-shirt, no limits, you know, indicating that there are no limits to who they are, their personhood, they can do anything. But the reality is only God has no limits. God is the only one who absolutely, unequivocally has no limits. And that Psalms 147 says that. So God is omniscient. He knows everything. And We shared three areas of the scope of his knowledge, and that was he knows all about himself, he knows all about creation, and he knows all about history. I want you to pull that up if you can from last week, but just know that God knows all about himself. I like that Job we shared last week that said, can you find out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? In other words, who can solve the mysteries of God? In other words, who can really grasp the who God really is? And I like the fact that it went on to say, who God is higher than the heavens. And the idea is in that eighth verse there, is the question is almost asked, well, who are you? I mean, it's higher than the heavens. Can you really grasp it? And if you cannot grasp it, you know, if you think you can, the ideal is, well, who in the world do you think you are that you can grasp who God is, the essence, the deep things, the mysteries of God? He knows all about himself. Only God knows all about himself. He knows all about creation. He created us. You all remember when we talked about in Genesis chapter 1, verse 21 and 31, where he says, after he made everything, it was good. Then he said it was very good after he made man. You know, he knows all about creation. He knows everything about creation. I wish somebody would help me. And at Matthew 10, scripture has the highlight that even a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without the knowledge of God, without God knowing. He knows everything about creation. He knows everything about himself, and he knows everything about history. Y'all remember that last week. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows the future. Hello, somebody. I am God, and there is none like me. That's out of that Isaiah 46, verse 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done. He knows what's going to happen in the future. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows what's going on right now. And God knows the future. This is the ideal of getting to know simply grasping the fact that God knows everything. He is omniscient. So we talked about the scope of his knowledge. So there is nothing that God does not know. And but what does God know about you? We shared that. First of all, we said God knows about my faults and my failures. God knows my faults and my failures. Psalm 69, verse 5. We said in the good news, my sin, oh God, are not hidden from you. You know how foolish I have been. In other words, God knows everything about my faults and my failures. There's nothing that God doesn't know about my sins. And when we come to understand that, the fact that we were trying to give you is that here's the fact we said, God is not shocked by my sin. So he saw it coming. So my response ought to be, since God is not shocked by my sin, he saw it coming, he knows my fears, I mean, he knows my faults and frustrations, then my response is that I must be honest with God. I must admit my sins before God. Are you listening to me? I know that we think we done got away with it, but God sees it all. Truth is, we try to hide it. We've already been found out because God already knows. Is that all right to say? I hope it is, because the truth is, he is the only one that counts, really, in the end. He knows all about my sin, so he saw it coming. That 1 John chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 8 says, if we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you're trying to hide it or cover it up, truth is not in us. God saw it coming. We also share, that's That's why a cover-up simply won't work with God. I mean, we can fool some of the people some of the time, and maybe all the people all of the time, but the truth is we can't fool God none of the time. Is that right? Yeah, none of the time. Yes, okay. So we might as well just be honest with God. That's the point we made there. And be honest with God, just admit it to the Lord. He knows about, and here I'll say this right up front. God knows all about our faults and our failures, and he still loves us. I hope you got that. If you don't get anything else I say today, just know God still loves you, and even though he knows all about you. I'm grateful to know that God still loves me, Kenny Ray, and even though he knows all about me. So we got to be honest with God. Number two, we shared, not only does God know our faults and our failures, we shared last week, God knows all of my feelings and my frustrations. Psalms 31, verse 7, you have listened to all of my troubles, and I like this where it says, and you have seen the crisis of my soul. That's in the Living Bible. The English Standard Version, I think it says, you've seen the distress of my soul. You've seen the distress. You've seen the crisis of my soul. You know how troubled I am, and you've seen the distress of my soul. God knows every fault and failure. He knows all of my feelings and my frustrations. Are you hearing me? That Psalms on your outline, it says Psalms 56, verse 6, but it's really verse 8, talks about God keeps all of our tears in a bottle. And that's the idea, that he keeps a record of our tears. He knows how we feel. He knows our frustrations. That ought to be good news to somebody, especially when we feel that nobody understands what I'm going through. They don't understand my pain. They don't understand the pressures that I'm under. They don't understand the difficulties that I'm dealing with. But listen, God knows. That ought to be good news, because if nobody else seems to care, God cares. Is that all right to say? I'm talking to somebody this morning, this afternoon, that you're feeling isolated, you're feeling alone, you're feeling out there by yourself, but you better recognize that God cares for you. He loves you, and you're not alone. Even though you may not have someone physically there, you've got somebody who's got your back, and that's God. He cares. So he knows all about your feelings and your frustrations. And if that's the case, then here's the fact. God is sympathetic to my hurts. That's what I want you to write in that blank. God is sympathetic to my hurts. And we gave that to you. So my response ought to be give all of my hurts to him. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. And why? Because he cares for you. So God is sympathetic to my hurts, and so I got to give all my hurts to him. Third thing we talked about, and that was God knows my future. God knows my future. I like Psalms 139, verse 16 says, the days allotted to me have been recorded in your book for before any of them ever began. God knew the span of my days. He knew, and guess what? He knows the span of your days as well. That's that ideal of Psalms 139. God, he knew them. He knew the span of our day. He knew how long we would be here. He knew how much time we have on planet Earth. And when I share this ideal that God knows our allotted time. When I share that for funerals and other stuff, I often share with people, listen, whatever you're going to do, you better do it now. You better get to doing it, because you only have so many days to live. I guess that's a soap opera, Days of Our Lives. Yeah, that's all you got. You got God know, and He knows the allotted time. And sometimes, even as young people, we think we got all the time in the world. We think that, but you never know how much time you really have. Only God knows. And He knows, hear me, beloved, your day. He knows the allotted days, those days that have been assigned to your span of life here on planet Earth. Listen, we don't, in the larger scheme of things, we don't know how long it is. Matter of fact, James says that life is like a vapor. It's here 1 minute and gone the next. And we can think about it just during this COVID, how many people that we've lost to COVID and others that are no longer here with us. Because, I mean, who would have thought? But here we are. So our days are allotted by God. He knows our future. And y'all quote that scripture all the time out of Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord," blah, blah, blah. Plans to give you hope and the future and all of that. See, there it is. God knows. He's already got plans for it, so He knows the future. And I ask you to circle that word "know" there. And He knows. For I know the plans. That's emphatic. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And he flips off and he drops it on us by saying plans of hope and a future. Are you hearing me? So He knows what's happening in the future. There are a whole lot of Miss Cleos out there, or Dionne Warwicks, or whoever out there on the psychic. I don't know if they still got the psychic hotline. Folk were calling the psychic hotline to find out what was going to happen in the future. They're using astrology and horoscopes. I know I'm a Cancer. My name is Larry. We're reading tea leaves and all this other stuff to try to figure out the future, but only God knows the future. We're trying to look at biorhythms and figure out how, you know, things are coming together to try to figure out the future, but only God knows. We're going to the wrong source. You can read your horoscope. That's what I call it, horror. It's a horoscope. You can read your horoscope all you want, all day long. I know you're a Libra and are Cancer or whatever, but you better talk to God. Stop relying on your horoscope to give you the future. Only God knows the future. So here's the fact. God sees my tomorrow today. That's what I want you to write there. God sees my tomorrow. He sees it today. God is like the Goodyear blimp when you're looking at the Rose Parade on Thanksgiving morning or whatever day that is, on New Year's Day. Where God, we can only see what's coming at us from a certain perspective. If we're standing at a certain place during a parade, we can only see what comes in front of us. But God is like the Goodyear blimp. He's up, He can see the beginning, the present, and the end. He sees it all from His perspective. God knows the future. And I'm grateful that we serve a God who is not limited by time. See, we're limited by time. God is not. God is eternal. And He sees the beginning from the end. And He can see the past, present, and the future all at once. Praise be to God. That ought to give us great confidence in God. God already knows what's going to happen in the future. And He has prepared for whatever is going to happen in the future, and He is preparing us for what is going to happen. So we may not be able to handle it yet. My wife, we were talking to somebody the other day, and they talked about, my wife was saying, I wasn't ready for her back in the day. You know, she said something like that. And but God was preparing me to be ready at the time that I got ready. Does that make sense? I hope it do. God was, he was molding me and making me and preparing me, because He knew that I was going to have to deal and Mary Lisa Nichelle Reed. He knew that, and so he was preparing me. And you know, so that is that. God knows it. So not only is God prepared when we get to that place in the future, he's doing his best to prepare us if we would submit to his preparing. It would make the world of a difference when we get to that place. I heard someone say it like this: it is better to not have an opportunity and be prepared than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. I hope that makes sense. Yeah. So God's preparing us. So, you know, it brings confidence that God knows my future because, you know, he's already prepared for whatever we're going to face next month, next week, and it is not going to surprise God what's going to happen in the present, in the future. And so here's my the fact that I was trying to give you on that. The fact is this: he sees my tomorrow today. So since he sees my tomorrow today, then I need to seek his advice or ask his advice. That ought to be my response. I need to ask his advice. Watch that Jeremiah 33 passage where he says, "Call unto me and I will answer you. Call me. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Call on me and I will answer." See, he's literally saying, seek my advice. I already know what's going to happen, so you need to seek my advice. I know what's, I prepared for what is about to happen. So I'm not praying to God. Hear this. I'm not praying to God, informing God about what is happening. God already knows my future. He knew that I would get to this place or this point. And so I'm not informing him what I'm doing since he already knows. I'm just seeking his advice. Okay, God, tell me how to handle this because you knew I was going to get here one day. And this is what we gave you for practical application last week. I hope you did it. And we said that that in your morning prayer, in your morning devotion, here's what we share with you. We say, pray like this: God, you know everything that is about to happen to me this day. You know if I'm going to spill coffee on my shirt. You know if I'm going to be in a traffic jam. You know if I'm going to, some folk at my job going to get on my last nerve. Hello, somebody. You know everything that I'm going to encounter this day because you have already seen it. Are you listening to me? So here's what since he has already seen it, pray and ask God for strength to handle whatever comes up. Pray and ask God to help you deal with whatever the crisis might be. Since he knows the future, he already have seen what's going to happen, then we pray, seeking his advice in the morning time. Say, God, since you already know that red Toyota gonna cut me off on the freeway and help me, Lord, not to act a fool on I-5 coming to work. Hello, somebody. Are you listening to me? He already knows. So I ask God for strength for whatever you're going to face for that day. That was the practical application we gave you last week. And I pray that you began to pray that way in the morning. In other words, God, since you know what's going to happen, give me the strength to face whatever it is. Help me to deal with it with compassion and love. Help me to remain faithful to you. Help me, Lord, not to cuss anybody out at the Piggly Wiggly. Are you hearing me? Or at the Bank of America when that lady say she can't give me my money. Does that make sense? I hope it do. So I'm just throwing these scenarios out there. So God knows all about my future last week. So ask him for advice. He sees my today, tomorrow. Here's number four. God knows all my fears. He knows all my fears. He knows everything that's going to get me uptight. Most often the things that we get uptight about are in the area of finances, our needs, and all of that. We get, you know, the fears of, am I going to be able to take care of this? Is it going to be something that I'm going, you know, when it comes to our finances, we get fearful. And I like that Matthew chapter 6, where it says, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, and all that. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. What shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? The pagans, they seek after those things. You know, how am I going to make it? How am I going to get this? God's telling his people, his children, don't worry. Why? Because God sees that we have need of them. Get that? God knows. Whatever need you have, you better recognize God knows that you have that need, whatever the need is. And he knows everything we need, whether it's financial, he knows that need. He's unaware that during this pandemic that you couldn't make ends meet and all this other stuff. God knows that. And, and we ask the question, well, God, do you see that I'm going under? I can't make ends meet and all of that. And God sees that you're trying to stretch your income and all. He sees that, I promise you. And he knows when you're about ready to fall apart, you know. Listen, and that scripture says, don't worry about it. I know, ooh, Lord help me, Jesus. The scripture said, don't worry, don't fret. I know that's hard, because there's a need that's right there. Don't fret, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Watch what he says, because the ideal is that, you know, worry is the result of not realizing the omniscience of God. If I don't think God knows, and so I'm worried about it because I'm trying to take the thing into my own hands. When I think that God knows everything, and if he knows it already, I think that ought to calm our fears of worrying about it, especially if God says, I already know you have need of that. And if God said that he would supply all of our need, not our greed, but our need, God will supply all of our needs, then it ought to help us not to worry. Are you listening to me? Because worry is realizing that we don't understand the omniscience of God. God already knows whatever that need is, and he already knows what's going on in our life. He is aware of it, and he cares. He's not totally oblivious to what that need is in our life. And so when I'm worrying, I'm taking it into my own hands. And listen, worry is taking responsibility for things that God is responsible for. Worry is taking responsibility for something that God is ultimately responsible for. Are you hearing me? That's what worry is. Worry, you can't get anything by worrying about it. If I worry about finances, ain't nobody gonna just drop money into my lap or out of the sky. If I worry about what I'm gonna wear, how I'm gonna get to work, or how that got, worrying about it can't even add any span to our life, I think the Bible declares. But the ideal is then, why am I worried about it? It's probably because I have not trusted in the omniscience of God. God knows what I need. And guess what, beloved? God knows what you need. Don't think he don't know. He knows. I'm going to take it in my own hands. I want to start being God, and I'm going to start worrying about it as if there's something that I really can do about it. God does. And that's what worry is. Every basic emotional problem that people have is a result of not understanding the the characteristics of God. God is omniscient. God knows all. God is omnipotent. He's got all power in his hand. He's got the power to do whatever he wants to do. So our basic emotional responses to stuff is simply because we don't really fully know who God is. And that's why it's so important to get to know God. The more we know God and know his characteristics and who he is, then the better we can have what I call emotional stability. You know folk who are always falling out and crying and kicking stuff over because it ain't working out the way they want it to work. Well, and I get that. Sometimes life takes you there. You know, you just get tired. I get that. And sometimes you have a pity party where you shut the blinds and you don't want to come out the room. And I get that. It's all right to have a pity party every now and then, but don't, where ain't nobody invited but you, but don't just go into that pity party and stay there. Eventually you got to kick the door down and come on out, let the blinds up, let the light in. I wish somebody would help me. But it's all the idea of this emotional distress is that we're not fully understanding the God that we serve. We come to church, we read his word, we study scripture, we have devotionals, all that good stuff. And so we got to comprehend who God really is. And this ideal of omniscient, the omniscience of God, is that he already knows what I'm taking on as my own. He knows what we have need of. Amen. I hope somebody gets that. Watch this. Matthew chapter 6 verse 8. He says, your father knows what you need even before you ask him. If you want emotional stability, know that God knows. So here's the fact that I want you to write down. God is aware of all my needs. I put that there and that, write that. God is aware of all my needs. I'm looking for emotional stability. I don't want stress in my life. So I got to recognize that God is aware of all of my needs. My pastor in Dallas, Dr. E.K. Bailey, used to say all means all. There's nothing on the other side of all. I've never forgot that. There's nothing. When God says all, he knows all of our needs. And when he says, I will supply all of your needs. Get that. God is aware of all of my needs. He's aware of my financial needs. He's aware of my spiritual needs. He's aware of my intimacy needs. He's aware of my social needs. Every kind of need that I have, God is aware of them. He's aware of my emotional needs, my mental and emotional needs. God is aware of all of that. And when we come to God and pray, he already knows that we have these needs, and he knows what they are. Are you listening to me? And so again, prayer is not, you know, informing God. God doesn't need a reporter. He doesn't need somebody with a pen and letting him, you know, this is what's happening, like you reporting to the Sacramento Bee, and you, God is the reader, and you just telling God what's happening. No, God already knows. You're not a reporter. You're not reporting. What you're doing is you are praying, telling God that what is going on and what's happening. He already knows, and so we're praying, not because we're revealing anything to God. We're simply asking God for help. That's what we're doing. So my response is this: if God is aware of all of my needs. And he is. Then my response ought to be, don't worry. I know that's kind of too simple, isn't it? I know. Don't worry. If he knows what my need is, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. We got to learn how to be calm, cool, and collected in Christ. Write that down. I like that. We got to learn how to be calm, cool, and collected in Christ. Don't worry about it. God will work it out. He knows what the need is, and so we ought not worry. That Philippians 4, verse 6, Don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, that scripture, Living Bible, I think it says on your verse, on your outline, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Be anxious for nothing. Yeah, be anxious. And honestly, that scripture, that Philippian scripture, is out of the backdrop, especially the one where he says he'll supply all my needs, is on the backdrop of the church giving to God. It's an offering scripture, really. If you give to God, don't worry, God will supply all of your needs. Nobody ever talks about that. What we want to hear about is just, he says, God's going to supply all my needs. But that's the backdrop of all of that is giving to God. When you give back to God, he said, look, don't worry, because God will supply your needs. And that is just the reality. And some of you all say, well, I've been giving. Don't worry. Don't be anxious for anything. God will supply all of your needs. Is that all right to say? Here's what I want you to do. Don't panic. Oh, beloved, don't panic. Don't panic. Don't panic. Pray. Don't start pulling your hair out. Some of us can't pull our hair. We can't afford to pull the hair out because we ain't got a whole lot of hair on our head anyway. So don't panic. Pray. Give it to God. Don't worry. Give it to God. Let God handle it. Is that all right to say? He already knows my need. And so I ain't got to get his attention. He already knows. So I don't have to work up some kind of name it and claim it prayer. You know, I don't have to, I'm gonna go and lay hands on this and then God gonna, you know, don't fall for that kind of foolishness in religiosity. I'm gonna just lay hands on it and God gonna supply, and I'm gonna claim it in the name of Jesus. You know, don't do that. Don't be naming and claiming it and blabbing it and grabbing it. No. Just trust God to work it out in his own time, and don't worry about it. And sometimes, listen, God got ways of sending things. This idea of Jonah, think about this. This idea of Jonah being swallowed up by a great fish, if you read the scriptures itself from the backdrop of from the Hebrew, it understands that God created that great fish just to swallow Jonah. And if God can do that for a little old wayward prophet, listen, God can create whatever he wants to meet whatever need you have. God knows how to bring about his plan and his purpose in your life. Hear me, beloved. So don't worry. Stop fretting. Stop pouting. Stop, trying to figure it out. Stop getting angry and upset at folk and all this other stuff. Just start loving on them. You know, God will work it out. He knows what the need is. So don't worry. That is our response. Are you hearing me? He already aware of it, and we can talk to him about anything. Are you hearing me? We already have his undivided attention. All right. I like this. Here's my last point on this. Not only does God, hear me, know all about my faults and failures, not only does he know about my feelings and my frustrations, not only does he know my future, hallelujah, he knows all my fears. Number five, God knows all my faithfulness. God knows my faithfulness. Every time I do the right thing, God is watching. Every time you do the right thing, God is watching. He's omniscient. He knows all, sees all. Every time we do what is right, every every time we're compassionate to somebody else, every time we don't cuss somebody out when they probably need it, every time we are sweet to our spouse and loving and kind, and God sees the faithfulness, and so he knows every time I'm faithful. Every time, instead of sinning, I stay faithful. Every time I don't succumb, God sees it all. Are you hearing me? So I thank God that he, not only does he see my faults and my failures, not only does he understand my fears and my frustration, God knows and he sees every time I am faithful. Get that? Every time I take a stand for what is right, every time I do the right thing, God is faithful. And no matter how small or how insignificant, God understands it, and he sees how faithful I am to him. He sees how faithful we are to him. Matthew chapter 6 says this. It's on your outline. Be careful, watch this, not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will what? Reward you. Be careful. Don't just do what you do so you can be seen of men. Don't do the right thing so folk can see you. You know, because the Bible says when that happens, you already got your reward. If you're just doing it to be seen, if you singing or ushering or preaching or serving anywhere just so other folk can see you and pat you on your back, you done got your reward already. But God says, when it's done in secret, your Father already, he sees it, and he will reward you. There is an ultimate reward for the believer. God will reward us. Are you listening to me? Every act. Here's the fact that I want you to write down. Every good deed done in the name of the Lord will be rewarded. Every good deed done in the name of the Lord will be rewarded. Every good deed will be rewarded. That is the fact. Every good deed that we do will be rewarded. Every good deed that we do will be rewarded. No matter how insignificant it seems, regardless of whether anybody else on earth saw it or not, it will be rewarded. Every encouragement that we give to other people, every kind word. Can I just say this real quick? And I'm going to throw this out here. Let us endeavor today, this day, and from the going forward, let us endeavor to show kindness to people no matter how difficult they are with you. I'm going to just let that. Ooh, if I was preaching, I'd say, preach, Kenny Ray. Lord, listen. Let us endeavor to show kindness to others, no matter how difficult they are with you. Why? Because God rewards faithfulness. I know I done messed up right there because somebody said, well, I ain't taking that. They keep doing this and saying that to me and doing what, and I just ain't, I've just done had enough. Yeah, I get it. Well, what if God had enough of us? And surely we go wayward all the time, and if God just decide he done had enough of us, where would we be? And so if we're endeavoring to be like Christ, we got to learn how to show kindness. Matter of fact, here's what I want you to do. The person that you done said something you ain't had no business saying to, the way you said what you said, here's what I want you to do. I dare you, I double dog dare you, to go back and apologize. I dare you to just say, look, you know, that came off the wrong way. I apologize. I'm sorry. I dare you to do that. And I guarantee you God will God will mark that down on the calendar on the day you turned around and did the right thing. Are you listening to me? Every time we are give a compliment to someone or encourage your children, every time you do a thoughtful act with your spouse, every time you pick up around the office or around the house, yeah, every good deed, every time you do something on your job that ain't your job, you know, this ain't my job, I ain't supposed to be doing this. Well, just do it anyway. It ain't gonna hurt you if you do it, is it? Well, I ain't supposed to do this, and this ain't nobody helping me. No, just do it in secret. You ain't got to go back and say, well, I my garbage wasn't emptied in my office, so I went out and emptied it myself. Well, no, don't worry about that. Just do it. And when you do it in secret, God will reward you. And I like the fact that the scripture says sometimes God rewards you openly. Openly. He'll let folks see just how blessed you are. I hope you're hearing me. Every time you have a kind thought, every act of courtesy that you show someone, every compassionate fiber of your being where you're showing it to someone else, the love of God, God will reward you. Are you hearing me? Every time you had the opportunity to gossip about somebody, but you didn't. Every time you had the opportunity to cut them, but you didn't. Are you hearing me? That's the ideal. And so every time you acted positively instead of negatively, God sees it all. The fact is, every good deed will be rewarded. Every time you gave an offering sacrificially, knowing you didn't have it, God saw it. Every time you compliment somebody, every service done in secret, every time you picked up a piece of trash. Listen, I often tell the story of Mama Gatlin, who was Mama Gatlin. She was one of my mother's that adopted me as her son. I was her pastor in San Francisco at Cornerstone, but she adopted me. I had a whole lot of mothers adopt me as their son. I was grateful to have Mother Gatlin in my life. Mother Gatlin had carpal tunnel, and she wore a brace on her hand. I mean, just she couldn't do a whole lot, but only thing she did in the act of service, other than, you know, she was at church every Sunday in Bible study, she was faithful in praying and all that, but the only act of service that I really saw Mother Gatlin do was at the end of every service. I don't care if it was Bible study on Wednesday, I don't care if it was Sunday morning, I don't care if it was after Citywide Revival or some other service we had. Mother Gatlin, carpal tunnel, both hands had braces on them. She would go throughout the church and pick up every single piece of paper. Listen, she died a couple of years ago. When I preached her eulogy, I closed that thing out by saying, listen, I said, Mother Gatlin, I know, using my spiritual imagination, that although Mother Gatlin may have not have done this or done that, but I guarantee you that every single piece of paper was charged to her account in eternity. And when God saw her, and when she saw God face to face in heaven, listen, we heard the Lord, I'm sure she heard the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. For every piece of paper, every program you picked up, every time you walked the aisles and looked for debris and trash, God said, well done. And I guarantee you, I believe it. I believe it with all my heart that great was her reward in heaven, simply picking up every single piece of paper in that sanctuary. She didn't have to do it. She could have went home like everybody else, but she stayed after service. Before we were still in there, she was picking up pieces of paper. Listen, beloved, every single thing do, God sees it all. He understands it all. And listen, just like Mother Gatlin, great will be our reward in heaven. Hello, somebody. Listen, I've come to this place in my life where, listen, I understand that God sees my faithfulness. I'm coming to the place in my life where I'm trying to live my life for the audience of one, regardless of what others may see. My goal is to make sure that whatever I do in dark and in secret, that it pleases Almighty God. That's what integrity is. Integrity is not who you are in front of the camera. Integrity is who you are behind closed doors. That's character. That's who we really are. And so we got to live our life for the audience of one. Doesn't matter what we appear like in public. What really counts is that God sees it all and he understands it all. And no matter where we are, what we're doing, somebody sees, and that's God himself. Help me hear somebody. That ought to be a tremendous motivator for us to live the right kind of godly life. Are you listening to me? To realize that nothing in my life is secret. God sees it all. We may fool some people, but we ain't gonna ever fool God. Does that make sense? Here's my response. I'm gonna give it to you. Here it is. Since God knows all of my faithfulness, my response ought to be, don't be discouraged. That Galatians chapter 6, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you don't give up, if you faint not. You're doing good. You're showing love and compassion. You're doing the right thing. You're trying to live right, and it's tough. Listen, don't be discouraged. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season, that's the ideal of due season. When the time is right, you will reap. Whoo, help me hear somebody. Keep on doing right. Keep on doing good. Keep on showing compassion. Keep on showing love. Keep on doing what is pleasing in the sight of God. And when the time is right, and the due season ain't always here on planet Earth, but sometimes it is. Sometimes God allows you to reap the benefits of a relationship with him and doing the right thing on this side. But if not, I guarantee you, you will reap it when you get to the other side. I used to tell my good friend, Ziandre Roshan, loved the boy to death. He was a minister of music and on staff with us at Cornerstone. I used to tell him all the time. He would say, Pastor, why I got to do this? I said, Ziandre, great will be your reward in heaven. He laughed. And so he got to the place in his life. Every time he asked me why, he said, that's all right, Pastor. I already know. Great will be your reward in heaven. Yeah, you may not see it on this side, but you will see it on the other side. You may not understand it on this side, but we will understand it better by and by. Ooh, help me hear somebody. I done talk myself happy today. Is that all right to say? Listen, we'll understand it. All of the pain, all of the struggles, all of the difficulty, when we keep on doing right, God sees it all. He will reward it one day. Matter of fact, this ideal of scripture there, Matthew 10:42, says that even when you give a cup of water in my name, listen, it will be rewarded. Y'all think I'm making this up. Go to Matthew 10, because y'all think you think I done lost my mind. Matthew, Mark, Luke, that's the beginning of the New Testament for some of y'all. Though. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew 10, verse 42. I'm almost there. I'm almost done. Matthew 10, 42. And this chapter is deep, because this is Jesus and the talking to the 12 disciples, and he's talking about how persecution is coming. And look, watch what he says. Get this, verse 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. He says, for I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemy will be those of his own household. What is he talking about? He's talking about commitment. He's saying, I can't bring sword. Folk who will, they're gonna disagree, and even folk in your own house is gonna disagree. Are you hearing me? And he goes on to say, verse 37, whoever loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 39, yeah, 38. And whoever does not take his cross, now this first mention of the cross, whoever doesn't take his cross, that is the ideal that your commitment to me may even come to the place of death, even unto death. Because when the disciples heard the word cross, they thought of the violence, the way people were dying on those crosses. And he says, if he does not take his cross and follow me, he is not worthy of me. If he's not willing to die for me, watch this. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Verse 40. Whoever receives you receives me. Here's what he's saying. Because he sent them out. He was sending them out. And he says, whoever receives you is going to receive me. And whoever receives me will receive him who sent me, meaning God. The one who receives a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. If you take a prophet in, that person is going to be rewarded for receiving you in. Watch this. It says, and the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. Verse 42, and whoever gives one of these little ones, whenever you see the word little one in the Bible, he's referring to believers. He's not talking about children. He's talking about believers. Whoever receives these believers, even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. God will reward right behavior. Even a cup of cold water in his name. Whoo, help me hear somebody. We think, I got to give this, I got to do that, he says a cup of cold water or a piece of trash that's picked up after service. You do it in my name. Watch, he says, you will not lose the reward of doing that. God is faithful. Hear me, beloved. I hope you hear me. God is faithful. Listen, I'm done. Let me sum it up for you. Let me give this to you. We talked about these five different attributes of God, what God knows about us. He knows our faults and our failures. Let me just ask you this real quick. Which one of these are you hiding from God? God knows all my faults, and which one of these are we acting as if God is not aware of? He knows my faults and my failures. Have we been pretending that God doesn't know what we're involved in and what we're doing? Is that it? Or are we trying to pretend that God doesn't know all of my faults, my feelings, and my frustrations? We run around saying nobody understands me, nobody knows me. No, God has seen the crisis of our soul. He's seen the distress of our soul. He knows all our feelings and our frustration. God knows our future. Are we settled in that? Have we forgotten that fact that wherever we are, God has already been there and he sees whatever the future is? So we got to seek him, seek his advice. What are we afraid of? God knows all my fears. What is it that we're fearing? Listen, if it's paying your bills or whatever, God knows what we have need of. We got to stop worrying about it and start trusting. He knows our needs. God knows my faithfulness. Is anybody discouraged right now doing good? Be not weary in well doing. Know that every cup of cold water in the name of Jesus will be rewarded by God. Is that all right to say? So getting to know God, listen, one of the greatest comforts, I'm done. The greatest comforts in my own life is that God knows everything. I don't know it. You don't know it. But God knows everything. He knows all of my fears. He knows all of my frustrations. He knows all of my faults. He knows all of my faithfulness. He knows my future. He knows, and he cares. He knows, and he cares. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, you are omniscient. You know all, you understand all. And even though I get discouraged, and even though we get downtrodden at times, we're grateful that we know a God who knows everything. You know all of our frustrations, you know all of our fears, you know all of our challenges. You know whatever it is that we need. And so we pray, oh God, that you would help us to trust you no matter what. We pray that you would help us to lean on you and depend on you and trust you above every single other entity in this world. Thank you for being a sovereign, omniscient God. We love you, Lord, and we yield our life to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you. I pray you got something out of this. Stick with us on these lessons on getting to know God just a little bit better. How much more confidence we got in God, knowing his character, knowing what he's like. And I pray you're following along with us. Listen, I'm a little past my time. I only want to keep you an hour, but I got you. We right there. 4 minutes over. So you pray for your boy. I need prayer because at 4 minutes, I'm trying to keep it under there. So, all right. Thank you. God bless you. And we shall see you Sunday.